2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Hello. Now, listen, when we're in Christ, it means we're walking in the anointing, right? Now, there are prerequisites for us to be walking in the anointing, isn't there? In other words, the anointing that's within us wants to cooperate with the anointing that comes upon us. Amen? So that we learn how to function or operate in the anointing. While the anointing is operating on us, and God wants us to learn how to operate in the anointing. And one of the things that must happen for everything to continue to be made new, we must be walking in the anointing. Amen? Where all things have passed away and all things have become new. Now, here's the main thing that keeps us in this place. You want to know what it is? Turn to 3 John. 3 John. Oh, praise God. Is everybody there? 3 John, verse 2. Oh, you know, we always want to stay in that state where everything is becoming new and old things are constantly passing away. Amen? And this is what must be continually happening. In verse 2 it says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. Well, if you're prospering in all things, things are becoming new, aren't they? If you're walking healthier than you were the other day, things are walking new, aren't they? Amen? Things are changing. He said, listen, I pray that you prosper in all things. All things. Not a couple things. All things. Now, the greatest thing that we want to prosper is spiritual wisdom, understanding. Amen? We want to be able to prosper in the things of the Spirit of God. He said, just as your what? Soul prospers. So if your soul's not prospering, are you? No. If your soul's not prospering, are you walking in the new? No. The moment your soul stops prospering, you begin to back. You get complacent. You get comfortable. Does everybody understand that? You begin to compromise. Why? Because your soul must constantly prosper. Does everybody understand this? So what's happening is you're learning things more. As you're getting more in the Spirit, more revelation is coming. You're discerning more things. Things are happening. You're becoming more Christ-like. That's how you're prospering, aren't you? Why? Because now, and your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions, isn't it? So that you're no longer led by how you feel, or you're making decisions in how you feel. You're no more led by what you think. You're no more led by making wrong choices. Because wrong choices is not going to allow you to prosper, is it? Amen? So the enemy's always going to try to come in to prevent your soul from prospering. If he can prevent you from growing, prospering in your soul, he can prevent you from walking in that new creation. Does everybody understand this? And then people get complacent, and then they turn to religion instead of relationship. And they begin to rely on what they've known and have a relationship with knowledge instead of the person. Does everybody understand that? Prosper in all things, health, mind, will, emotions. Now let's go a little bit further. Verse 3. Read it with me, please. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the what? Truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. So if your soul isn't prospering, are you walking in the truth? No. So is the enemy trying to deceive you in that area? Is he trying to steal the truth from you? That's right. Why? Because he knows if you prosper in the soul, you're walking in that new creation, and you're walking in the Spirit, which he is easily exposed. So if you're not walking in the Spirit in that new creation, the enemy can deceive you much easier. So your soul must prosper. You know, you think about where you were and where you've come from and where you are now. How did that happen? By your soul prospering, wasn't it? Many of us had to go through on-the-job training. Amen? Come on, we had to experience those times when our soul wasn't prospering. When we made dumb decisions, and you know, but we learned from them, didn't we? And in fact, we learn from each other's mistakes too, don't we? You know, everybody always hears about it. Did you hear what his name did? Yeah, man, whoa. Don't do that. Okay. So your soul just prospered, didn't it? Praise God. But he said the thing that is important is that we walk in the truth. In the truth. That not only do you know the truth, but you walk in the truth. So that doesn't mean that you're going to walk by everything you hear. It doesn't mean that you're going to walk by everything you feel. It doesn't mean that you're going to walk by everything you think. Hello? It means that you're going to walk in the truth, and you're going to always grab the truth and use it. In other words, practice the truth. Because see, he was saying here that not only is I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, but you also what? Walked in the truth. In other words, they're practicing what they've learned. See, so if you're not putting into practice what you've learned, you're not prospering. Has everybody got it? That's what the Lord says. You know, many they're going to learn, but they never come to the knowledge of the truth because they're always learning, but they're never putting it into practice. So if you can't put it into practice, you're not prospering. You're just filling your pockets with a bunch of knowledge and doing nothing. And the devil kick your butt. Now, who doesn't want you to prosper? The devil, the powers of darkness. He does not want you to prosper. He will prevent everything of your soul from prospering in any way that he can, won't he? Why? Because as you prosper in your soul, you become more Christ-like. And you're a threat to the devil. Now there's an area where the devil will use on you. Go to James 1. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody there? And verse 12. Praise God. Would you read it with me? James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man who what? Endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So we know that the devil's going to tempt you, isn't he? So every time he tries to tempt you, and you resist him, you get a crown. See, so you want to pile up a bunch of crowns so you can get to Jesus. See, but every time you are tempted and you fall into it, you give a crown. He takes it. Does everybody understand? The Bible says that we will give crowns to the Lord when we get before him. So, if the devil comes up to you and taps you on the shoulder to tempt you, the voice that you're going to hear instantly, and I want everybody to say it with me, don't go there. That's going to be the Holy Spirit that's going to speak to you. Don't go there. And the Lord really wants to impart this. This is, don't go there too. Because you're going to be hearing the voice of the Lord saying, don't go there. Don't. How many times have you gone there and wanted to go kick yourself in the butt? Man, why did I do that? Because you went there. Don't go there. It's real simple. Amen? Come on, let's go on. We'll continue reading this. Let no one say, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. So don't blame God for your temptations. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Hello? And when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth what? Death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Ooh. Now I want to repeat this. The devil tempts us, not God. Now God will use that temptation to see what you're going to do. He's going to see where you're at. He's going to see whether you get the crown or you give one. Hello? So when the devil comes up and tempts you, now the first way he's going to tempt you, because the Bible says that the desire is what allows. See, so the enemy's already been speaking to you, hasn't he? He's already been throwing stuff at you. You don't even realize it's happening. But see, the Holy Spirit's going, don't go there. And you know what? You're resisting for a while. Nah. And then it's finally like, oh. Then you look and see, well, immediately you have opened yourself up because you went there. See, sin starts in the thought pattern. Jesus said, anyone look on a man and lust after her is sin. So once you have sinned, hello? It's because you already went there. And because you went there, you have sinned, and you touched and agreed and opened the door. He's got free access to you. Why? Because he's a legalist. And he stands before, he goes before God and accuses you. Hello? You know, the devil tempts to prevent our soul from prospering. He's desiring to access our mind, will, and emotions. Plant corruptible seeds. Of course, a corruptible seed is like a weed in a garden, isn't it? We must resist this temptation to receive the crown. When we do not resist temptation, now please understand this, because God wants to bring us to another level. Now, we can talk about surface things all day long, but there's another level where we've got to really begin to discern more. When the enemy tempts you and you go there, you have denied Christ. Does everybody understand this? But we say, well, but I know him and I love him, but... Now listen, I want to use an example. Did Peter know him and love him? Did he deny him? Was he tempted? Did he go there? Ooh, but he denied him, didn't he? Three times. Even Jesus warned him. He says, listen, I know you love me. But you're going to deny me three times. You're going to go there. Even though you know me, you walked with me. And you saw all the miracles and signs and wonders. Peter got complacent and prideful, didn't he? And he went there. Started with the thoughts, and he went there. You know what hit him? Fear. See, when you go there, you can promote fear in your life. Does everybody understand this? So the enemy's always going to tempt you, and he's going to say, Come on. Oh, let me introduce you to Mr. Oppression. Let me introduce you to Mr. and Mrs. Religion. Let me introduce you to Mr. and Mrs. Lust. Perversion. Let me introduce you to these spirits. But we're to say, and the Holy Spirit's going to go, don't go there. He will always speak to you and say, don't go there. And I want you to be very sensitive to His voice in these days about not going there. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Let's go a little further. 2 Corinthians 6. Everybody say, don't go there. Look to your neighbor and say, don't go there. Don't go there, man. You know, people answer back and go, but I want to. But what about me? Me. Yeah, I was around a lot of come-outs the other day. Too bad they didn't hear it. I was at Bike Week. Hallelujah. Talk about shaking the dust off. I'm still shaking it off. But I didn't go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. Oh, Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your what? Own affections. Affections, desires. Has everybody got it? Emotions, things that you desire. How are those desires established? Corruptible seeds. Because we went there. Now in return for the same I speak as to children, you also be open. Do not be what? Unequally yoked together with an unbelievers. Yeah, man, but they're my friends. I've known them since they've been kids. So I just go over there while they're drinking beer. I won't do anything. No, I mean, God. Don't go there, man. How many times the devil brought you to your past? Don't you remember? You hear that song, you'll be walking somewhere and you hear that song all of a sudden. Ooh. And the Lord's going, don't go there. Don't go there. And you're going, don't go there. Pick your crown up. Another one for my daddy. Hello. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. So if you're the temple of the living God, that means you know all things. Come on, the living God that lives in you created everything, even you. The air you breathe, the land you walk on, everything. You don't think He don't know all things? He does. And He's trying to get Him to us, isn't He? But see, if we keep going there, we keep missing Him. If we keep going there, we keep denying Christ. If we keep going there. You know, there are so many people go, man, I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling with that, I'm sorry. Man, quit going there. I need deliverance, I need that, I know it. You get the devil out, and they're going, oh, man, this is... No, don't go there. You know what happens? People go right back there. They go right back there. And those demons come right back in. The Bible says when a spirit comes out or an individual, it goes back to try and get back in. That's all you need to do is agree, and he's in, bam. Because somebody went there. He puts the temptation out and everything. You know, he wants your house. Amen? Remember, he's lived rent-free for many years. Oh, hallelujah. It says this. Read it with me. For God has said what? I will dwell in them and I will walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. The word therefore means if you'll do something. So make sure you put a big if there. Therefore, or if you'll do this, if you'll come out from among them. How are you going to come out from among them? By not what? Going there. And be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. How are you going to not touch what's unclean? By what? Not going there. And then I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Desires are fruits of corruptible seeds. Because we went there. Go to John 16. Has everybody fallen into this before? Yeah, in fact, I did that 4 times today. You know, the enemy always wants to entice you into an argument. Amen? He wants to always prove yourself. Come on, man, prove who you are. Come on. I got a good argument for you. What's he doing? He's trying to get you to go there, isn't he? Do you ever see a fly that's so irritating? Do you ever see those cartoons when that little cartoon character has that little fly swatter and he chases that fly around the whole house, finally he gets so mad he can't get it and he's beating this up and smashing this. He finally gets a bomb and blows the whole house up and the fly still and everything is gone, right? I mean, talk about irritation. That's what the devil is. Amen? He's a fly with a big megaphone, isn't he? He's an ant with a big megaphone. He is so irritating, and that's all it is. But see, you just don't have to go there. The enemy is always going to try to entice you to sin. He's going to always try to get you. He wants to prevent your soul from prospering. And what he does is then he brings you to you. Oh, me. Oh, what about me? What? Doesn't anybody know how I feel? Somebody give me a binky. Don't go there. John 16 and verse 7. Jesus said something powerful. He said, listen, nevertheless, I tell you the what? Truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Man, did they freak. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. So Jesus had to depart from them so that the Comforter could come. Amen? And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. And of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Who's the ruler of this world? I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Why could they not bear them now? Because they were not baptized in the Holy Ghost yet. Because they are not filled with the Spirit of God. They could not discern the things of God yet. He said, man, there's a lot of things I want to tell you. But since you're not baptized, and you haven't got the Helper, you haven't got the Distributor, you don't have the Comforter, you don't have the Spirit of Truth, you don't have the Spirit that's going to guide you to all truth. And interpret what I'm trying to tell you, because he's going to tell you things, because once he's living in you, you're going to hear him. But I can't tell you these things yet. I got a lot of work. And he said to them, but it's to your advantage that I go so that we can commune in a better way. In verse 13, would you read it with me? However, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Look at verse 14. He will what? He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and what? Wait a minute here. Now, Jesus has everything from the Father, right? Jesus has just granted everything to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is bringing everything to you. Everything. Hallelujah. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will tell you what to come? Things to come. Don't go there. Something's coming. All. And he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and he will declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Oh, hallelujah. Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. He'll tell us things to come. The devil knows. He knows. Amen. He knows that if your soul is going to prosper, because it's going to prosper because you have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's going to tell you things to come. He's going to guide you into all truth. Is that prospering your soul? Amen. So with the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, your soul is constantly prospering. Are you walking as a new Christian in Christ? Are you a new creation in Christ? Amen. Are old things passing away? Are all things becoming new? Well, then your soul is prospering. Has everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. Remember, the devil wants to prevent the soul from prospering. Why? Because if he can prevent a soul from prospering, you can't get all things. They'll be stolen before you can even get it. You know, the enemy loves oppression. Depression. He loves to oppress individuals. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit to rescue those, to heal those, to deliver those from the oppression of the devil. Right? And people get oppressed because the first thing that happens is they go there, and when they go there, the devil causes you to look at you. And he tries to convince you that God is holding something back. Hello? He's trying to convince you that there's a greener pasture. He's trying to convince you that everything you did is wrong. And if you go there, you give him legal right to you. Legal right. So what do? You repent. You repent for going there. Go to 1 John chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. You know, there's nothing wrong to express certain things, but not dwell on them. You know, when people say, "How are you doing?" I say, "Blessed and highly favored." I do not express everything I'm going through. Why? Because I'm just going to... Then it causes me to go there. Now, I'm going to be honest. I may say something to my wife or whatever and say, you know, I'm not feeling good, but that's it. Does everybody understand it? I'm fighting something right now, but I'm not accepting it. Why? Because I'm not going there. It may be hitting me. Hello? I may have gotten hit or something, or, you know, whatever. My helmet might have fallen off or whatever. You know, and I got hit with something. You know, the devil's a backstabber. He always hits your back, you know. Oh. Yeah, you feel that when you go, oh. And then all of a sudden all these goofy thoughts start coming, right? Uh-oh. He got something penetrated somewhere. Okay. All right. I know it's there, but I'm not going there. Because if I go there, it's going to bring me to me. I'm going to go, oh, what was me? And the devil will give him a legal right to have access to me. Then my soul's not prospering, is it? Oh, hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. Is everybody there? Are you okay? But you have the anointing. Would you read it with me? You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know what? A couple things. One thing. A little bit. Occasionally. Wow. You know all things. You know all things. Well, then why aren't I doing all things? Because you keep going there. That's why. Why aren't I walking in abundant life? Because you keep going there. Every time you go there, it promotes self, fear, and you know what happens again? We hold on to it. Then what does that promote? Unbelief. See, because you went there, the devil comes up and says, did you ever see those people that are running, what do you call it, the band, the marathon, whatever, and they're changing the baton. The baton. They transfer the baton. Oh, yeah. People be running the race with God. Yes, running and riding. The devil comes up and says, come on, man, I got a baton for you. Come on there. Yeah, there it is. Yeah. I'll grab it. And you went there. Oh, and then you fall flat. Boom. Oh. Oh. Then you go, oh, me. Oh, me. Oh, me. Oh, me. Get rid of it. They hold on to it. Then unbelief comes. Fear, doubt, unbelief. And they roll it up, and there's a message in that baton. And it says, it's all about you. I got a message from the Lord. It's all about me. No. That was not a message from the Lord. That was from a familiar spirit who brought you the baton. In other words, you went there. Hello. Oh, to God be the glory. And you thought you were running a race just fine. Yes, you're getting ready. You're doing great. Yeah, man, you just stuck your hand back there ready to grab. You weren't even looking. Because, see, now that you know all things, but you forgot that fiery dart of pride came in. I know all of it. Yes, I'm on my way. And you grabbed that baton, and it was, it's all about me. Oh, and you went there. Hallelujah. Verse 21. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but you went there. But you what? Because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? Oh, so when you go there, you know what you do? You deny the Lord. He is an antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He has promised us. Eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to what? Deceive you. Hand you the baton. The false one. The woe was me one. The go there one. The offended one. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone should teach you. In other words, you're going to hear the Lord say, don't go there. You heard everybody else say it already. Don't go there. Yes, but my girlfriends and boyfriends, what about them? Don't go there. See, when there's a but involved, you're there. Hello. Why? Because you're now questioning God and what he's doing with you. That's exactly what Eve did. She but. And she received what the enemy had to say. Everybody with me? But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things. Now, who's the anointing? The Holy Spirit. Amen? He's going to teach you all things, isn't he? He's going to guide you into all truth. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. James 4. Oh, hallelujah. Are you okay? Don't go there. Hallelujah. In verse 7, would you read it with me? Let's start at 6. We might as well get the full flavor. It says, but he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the what? To the humble. Come on, read it with me. Therefore what? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, how are you going to submit to God if you keep going there? So if you go there, can you resist the devil? No. You know, so many people go, man, I just don't understand why so many things are happening in my life. I can never get ahead. First of all, the devil's preventing you from your soul prospering. So you can't. Amen? And everything he's throwing at you, you're going there. That's why he says, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. If you can't get rid of that stuff, you're going there. And you're going, what about me? Then you begin to try to fix things in the flesh. And you're really there now. He got you right where he wanted you. Why? Because you're relying on your own knowledge, your own talents, your own... all those areas. And your soul is not prospering. He's prevented you from prospering. Then he allows, then he comes and begins to cause you to sow corruptible seeds. Well, how's this going to happen? How's that going to happen? When's this going to happen? Well, what about this? And what about who? And what about where? And when am I going to pay the bills? And when am I... how do you... Man, you're there out. You're way out now. And the enemy's playing tennis with you, and you're the ball. Hello? Oh, praise God. Everybody okay? Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Hello? Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and that's where the mind, right? And purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. What did he say? Humble yourself. In other words, repent when you don't submit. Because if you're not under authority, you don't have any. Does the devil know when you're not? Does he know when you're not submitted? He knows when you're not acknowledging God, doesn't he? Oh, he waits. Come on, flesh creature. Don't submit today so you can go there. Hello? Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Philippians 4. See, if you don't submit, the enemy has access to you to plant a corruptible seed, and it causes double-mindedness. Philippians chapter 4. Oh, yes, we have heard this already. Praise God. It's a reminder and a refresher. Why? Because the Lord wants us to be sensitive to the area of don't go there. Yes, but what about my... And what about my... And my... And my... And my... Well, I'm not selling me. I'm not saying me, I'm saying my. It's the same. Still sounds the same. My. Hallelujah. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for everything. Oh. Hello? Be anxious for everything. Don't pray. Just go out and work in the flesh and you'll be okay. Go to everything the devil places to you and hand all your crowns over to him. Remember, you resist the devil, you get a crown. It's like getting a handoff. Oh, yes. And you score. Yes. Hallelujah. I won't go there. Be anxious for a couple things. For one thing. Only when you really feel you deserve to be anxious. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything... by somebody else's prayer. By writing a letter to Santa Claus. Okay, I'm not anxious, but hurry up. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. He's going to guard your hearts and minds. You know why? Just by resisting the devil and not going there. You have submitted to God. Amen? I'll go to James 5. James chapter 5. Glory. James 5 and verse 7. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not what? Grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job, and seeing the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into temptation. Oh, hallelujah. We must endure. In other words, don't go there, especially with the mouth. That's the first place the devil wants to get you. He wants to get you to speak something, doesn't he? So you just got off the phone with your friend, spouse, friend, boss, whatever. Something didn't go right. Oh, man, did you go there? See, when you go there with the mouth, he comes in with the mouth. Hello? You give him legal access. The mouth. It's wider than it looks. First Chronicles, verse 20, chapter 21. First Chronicles, chapter 21. Hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Don't go there. Would you all read verse 1 with me? Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. So David said to Joab and the leaders of the people, go and number Israel from Beersheba to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. Now David had already been told not to by the Lord. And Joab answered, may the Lord make his people 100 times more than they are. But my Lord, the king, are they not all my Lord's servants? Why then does my Lord require this thing? Why should he be a cause of guilt in Israel? Wow, his servant was letting him know, listen, man, we ain't supposed to be doing this. See, the devil was tapping on David's shoulder, wasn't he? Come on, go there. Go there. Now, God was making a way of escape for David to change his decision because he was going there. He does it for us too, doesn't he? Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Therefore, Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. Then Joab gave the sum of the number of the people to David. All Israel had 1,100,000 men who drew the sword, and Judah had 470,000 men who drew the sword. But he did not count Levi and Benjamin among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. And God was what? Displeased with this thing. Therefore, he what? Struck Israel. See, everybody else suffered because he went there. Think about how many people pay the price when you and I go there. Amen? When we go there. How many times has God rescued you from a circumstance, then the devil comes and taps on your shoulder and says, you know, that wasn't really God. That was a devil. That was a devil that said, you can't do this or you can't do that. See, we don't realize that God was rescuing us from a disaster. Amen? Then the devil comes. And then you go there. Then what happens? Oh, man, you open the door to all kinds of stuff. You begin to blame God. You begin to blame this. You begin to blame everyone else for your stuff because you went there. Is everybody with me? Look at David had a chance to renounce his decision when he went there, didn't he? And because he didn't, everyone else suffered. Oh, hallelujah. Go to 2 Samuel 11. I like using David as an example. Because he was a man of God, wasn't he? He made mistakes, didn't he? But he repented. 2 Samuel 11. 2 Samuel 11. Is that what I said? Praise God. What am I in Chronicles for? I went there. Don't go there. Don't go to Chronicles. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Oh, hallelujah. It happened in the spring of the year, verse 1. At the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab, his servants, with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rahab. But David remained at Jerusalem. Now, it just said all the kings go out to battle, right? But where was David? Drinking iced teas on his patio. It was a nice sunny day out. He thought he'd sweep the porch, you know, and just hang out. He said, everybody, all the kings are out at war, and here's David. Yeah, man. Did he go there? Oh, you bet he went there. Now, let me share something with you. When you go there, the one place, the enemy can bring you to the next place. And then he brings you to the next place. Then he brings you to the next place. Then he brings you to the next place. Till you are so bound. Now, we know David went there, right? In verse 2. Then it happened one evening as David was still drinking his iced teas on his porch that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. Now, why would he go on the roof? Was there an eclipse going on or something? Who told him to go on the roof of the house? Come on, it says what? It says that he arose from his bed. Yo, David, come on, let's go on the roof for a few minutes. Who was that? David, it's me. Come on, the roof. I'll meet you there. Okay. He went there right then. And from the roof, there was a set of binoculars. No. David was the first peeping David. Glory. Whew, got real hot in here, man. Hallelujah. Praise God. So David went to the roof with the voice of the stranger. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful to behold. So you know the devil went over to the woman first. You know that, right? He said, man, come on, it's time to bathe. And then he ran over to David. He said, come on, get up. Let's go to the roof. And both of them went there. So David sent and inquired about the woman. He continued to go there, didn't he? And someone said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah, the Hittite, which was his right-hand man in the military? That was his best friend. That man slept at his door. And David continued to go there. He knew what was up. The woman was married. And David sent messengers and took her. And she came to him, and he lay with her, for he was cleansed, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. And a woman conceived, so she sent and told David, and said, I am with child. And David had his right-hand man killed. Do you see how if you can go there one place, he'll bring you to the next place, he'll bring you to the next place, and then it will bring murder. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. James 1. And of course it brought a curse on the family line. Right? And David could not build the house of God. His son had to. So the Lord wasn't going to allow it. He said, you had blood on your hands. And all of his sons fell into fornication. Oh, hallelujah. James chapter 1. In verse 21. Would you read it with me? It says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your what? So the word. Jesus said, he who eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood. That's eating of the word of God, right? And drinking of the Spirit. We have life. In verse 22, would you read it with me? But be doers over the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Oh, hallelujah. Proverbs 10. Proverbs chapter 10. The Bible tells us that out of the mouth speaks blessings and cursing, isn't it? So when you go there, most of the time we open our mouth, don't we? Were you ever with somebody that you'd be driving down the street and you're supposed to be a believer? And the person's head is hanging out the door and his tongue is on the ground as you're driving by looking at every girl there is, saying things, woohoo, look. You know, I was at the bike week and the first place we went to, and we parked the bike and people were coming up and taking pictures, and the Lord just said, you know, let the bike be the track. Because it has Christ the King on it, and I'll be back, Jesus on the back. And so I didn't do anything. Then we went to this other place, we're at this first place, and I come walking around the corner, and this guy says, hey, guy, man, how you doing this? Like, whatever. I'm thinking, oh, my God, no. Who knows me out here? And this guy knew me from when he was a believer. He said, man, how's the ministry? How's this and that? I'm thinking, man, yeah, who is he? I couldn't remember him. And he was there with his wife. And I flew in from Pennsylvania for bike week. And I thought, man, since I'm retired and done all this stuff and whatever. And I said, cool. But he's going, how the hell are you? And he's saying all these custom words. And he's going, holy this and holy that. I said, holy God, brother, holy God. You know? Holy God. He's all excited about seeing me, but he's using every curse word there is to say, holy this. And I'm going, holy God, brother. And I want to hear it no more. And I thought, man. And I still can't remember the fullness. I remember meeting him and so forth. And he said, yeah, man, we're still. I said, so, well, you got this house? And I said, well, are you going to church? You know, yeah, we're going to a certain kind of church. No, hallelujah. Yeah, we still believe. I wanted to ask him, what do you believe in? And then, and we left there and so forth, and I was just like, wow. Now, this has been about 7 years ago I saw this guy. because Lissy just got born. He was wondering, hey, I remember when your daughter was born and this. And I thought, wow, 7 years ago. 7 years ago, and this guy's not prospered in his soul at all. And I thought, man. I mean, they're sweet people, don't get me wrong. But they've not prospered. And we brought the bike to another place, and people were coming out taking pictures of it and all kinds of stuff. And then people were going, yeah, man, great. And then the Lord started sharing with me, okay, you can start handing out DVDs now. And this one guy was really on my heart. And I said, you know, somebody needs this, you know. He said, what is it? I said, it's a Get Set Free video. And it helps people with drugs and it tells them about drugs and alcohol. He says, man, my two sons. He said, but we've been praying for him, this, that, and whatever. And he says, you know, and I said, well, then this is a divine appointment. I said, let them watch this DVD. And he says, yeah, and he pointed to his vest that had a cross on it. I said, cool, and he turned around and he had a dragon. And then his T-shirt had dragons on and all kinds of stuff. And I'm going, Lord, what's up? He says, guy, they don't know. They don't know. They have no idea, and they're not prospering. And I get this other guy come up. He says, man, is that your boy? Yeah, hey, praise God, brother. God bless you, this, that, and whatever. One hand is holding a beer and the other. I said, wow. And I just turned around to the Lord. I said, Lord. He said, guy, they don't know. They don't know. They just don't know. Man, it just grieved my spirit. Because there's so many out there that want to do the right thing. And they don't know how. They just don't know how. And I believe that's what we're accountable for. That's why we must continue to prosper and not go there. Because what God has given us is important to be spread to the body of Christ and to other believers. Because they don't know. I mean, I'm telling you, it grieved my heart. I can't tell you how many people I ran into who claimed to be believers. And still living according to the world. That's not believing, is it? In Proverbs 10, in verse 17, he who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. In a multitude of words, sin is not lacking. Did you ever get around someone who can't shut up? Sin ain't lacking, I can tell you that. He who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but the fools die for lack of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Because many rich, there is sorrow. There is fear of losing their riches, isn't it? To do evil is like a sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. The fear of the wicked will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. Hallelujah. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Wow. Be careful about going there with the tongue. Amen. Be very careful. Going there with the tongue produces fear, doubt, open doors, division, guilt, bitterness. Amen? The Bible tells us we're to be content in all things. The Word tells us that if we touch and agree with the voice of the stranger, you touch and agree by going there, it's going to come to pass. In every area where we have gone there, we have actually opened the door to the devil and invited him in. And I want to encourage you that you're going to be hearing that still small voice that says, don't go there. Don't go there. You be ready to go do something. Don't go there. You get ready to turn on that TV station. Don't go there. You be ready to take that secular music because you miss it so badly. Oh, it made me feel so good. Well, your soul ain't prospering too well. I see many people go backwards instead of forward because they're still feeding their soul with the ethics of this world. The Bible says, come out from this world. Yeah, but I really just like that music, man. Well, that music likes you too. Yeah. It likes you too, man. I can guarantee you that. Let me tell you, going there blinds you also. Going there will blind you, will prevent the discernment. Did you ever get sucked in an argument? Amen? See, the devil waits there. He says, come on in my ring. If you get in the ring with him, you're going to lose. That's why we're not to go there. The only time you go there is when God sends you. Amen? Is everybody okay? I want to, listen, I want to go to two other scriptures. 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5. Hallelujah. In verse 13. It's just a powerful verse that I just want to express here. It says, and besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Those are people that are constantly going there. They can't mind their own beeswax, but they're in everybody else's. Hello. And I want to close at Psalm 32. See, now you can tell somebody else, man, don't go there. Don't go there. I find myself saying that all the time, even in within me, I ain't going there. I'm not going there. I ain't going there. A message will come across, I'm not going there. People leave all kinds of messages on my phone thing. I'm not going there. I need to talk to you, this, or whatever. I ain't going there. You need to just die. Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Read it with me. Whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old, through my groaning all day long. In other words, because he didn't repent. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said I will confess my transgression to the Lord. You forgave the iniquity of my sin. So every time you've gone there, we need to repent. It doesn't mean that you won't go there sometime. Do you understand it? But we got to begin to discern and learn and put it into practice. Don't go there. Man, you want to say something so bad, don't go there. Don't go there. The enemy will try to convince you, man. He'll give you that butt ministry real quick. But you tell him you're not the tail, you're the head. Amen. You resist him, pick up your crown, and boogie. Amen? You just resist him and pick up the crown. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you. In other words, repent to you. In a time when you may be found, surely in a flood of great waters, hallelujah, they shall not come near. Bunch of, let's go there, will come around you. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. And the Lord says, I'll instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule who have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, or else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Amen? Praise God. So repent if you've gone there. Break and loose yourself from that seed and that associated spirit. Any area. How many times have you made a vow and you said, listen, I'll be there. But you weren't there. Amen? See, the devil distracted you, didn't he? And caused you not to go there when you made a vow. Amen? These are areas where we need to repent for all of these things. Touching unclean things. Going to places we shouldn't be going. Accepting and agreeing with the enemy. Don't go there. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness right now in every area of our life where we have gone there. And denying you. Lord, we repent right now. And we command the powers of darkness right now in every area that we have gone and touched and agreed. Where every area the devil has access to us in any area, we command those powers of darkness. We bind every strong man and command those spirits to leave us right now and loose us. Go to uninhabited dry places and we plead the blood of Jesus between ourselves and those spirits, commanding every corruptible seed that's been planted in our minds, our memories, our imaginations, in our eyes, in our ears, in our heart, in our soul, in our flesh, or in our spirit. We command those corruptible seeds that wither and die in the name of Jesus and break and loose us from every associated spirit with them. And the blood of the Lamb be between ourselves and those spirits. Now, Lord, wash us afresh, fill us afresh, and grant us a discernment when the enemy comes and tempts. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would speak to us loudly and quicken us when we hear you say, don't go there. And we promise to give you all the glory, Jesus, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.